You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin, and it's my pleasure to welcome into our studios today Yevgeny Kutik, violinist, this weekend with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra, and hailing right now from Boston. Yevgeny, welcome to Las Cruces.
Thank you.
I want to get started with a reference to your CD and to your background, and then we'll talk more about the concert. Your CD is called Music from the Suitcase, which refers to how you and your family came to the United States many years ago at this point from the former Soviet Union, from Belarus. So tell us a little bit about that story. It's quite dramatic.
We arrived in 1990 to the country, but I was born in Minsk, Belarus. My family is Jewish, and the climate sort of for Jews in the Soviet Union really was not very good. And my whole family grew up under this sort of blatant anti-Semitism. But my family decided that they didn't want me or my brother to grow up under that same environment. And so they decided to leave. And so that was a very complicated process. You had to leave your citizenship. You had to basically abandon all of your belongings and just go into the unknown. And so it was a very long, actually a 6-month-long journey via Europe. But one of the things that, you know, we were allowed to take several suitcases, I think two or something per person. And my mom, for whatever reason, decided to stuff my mom's violinist, and she decided to stuff all these old music scores that she grew up studying, playing into the suitcase. And so she used up some of this valuable space that we had to take everything, and she put a bunch of old scores in there. And, you know, they were just lying in our house when we got to the United States. And then much further along when my career was going, I really took an interest in what was in them. And it was quite fascinating to open up these old scores and see a lot of really, really interesting music by all sorts of different composers. But in particular, I liked the Russian composers, some of whose music I really had never heard of. Or there's even two composers I'd never even heard of, period. And so it was very interesting to try to put it together for a project.
Yeah, because you have some very famous Russian names like Stravinsky, Shostakovich, Armenian Soviet composer Aram Khachaturian, Tchaikovsky, but you do have a couple that most people won't have heard of.
Yeah, I mean, I think what stands out is Andrei Eshpai. I'd never heard of him. He's actually a Mari composer, and Mari is an ethnic sect of Russians, kind of more, I guess you could quote-unquote call it more gypsy sort of style of living. I don't know what the correct way of, but it's a very fascinating culture, actually, the more I write about it. And so they also were kind of oppressed, and maybe still are, by Russian authorities because of their individualistic language and style of living or whatever. So, but he wrote this. He wrote a lot of interesting pieces. A lot of it is actually jazz influenced. Actually, very fascinating stuff on YouTube. But I found this one, Hungarian Rhapsody, and it's sort of, you could confuse it possibly for Bartok's Romanian dances, but it's not. You know, it's definitely got a different sort of vibe, but it's also a collection. I think it's six or seven short works. It's pretty fascinating. And I think the other one that I recorded Rubinstein's, is it Romance? It's been a couple of years. And so I had never really thought of it, but of course Rubinstein was also kind of a prolific composer and pianist in his day, and it's kind of fascinating music. So it was a great exploration, very educational.
And these pieces were in the suitcase that your mother brought.
They were in the suitcase, yeah.
Now, how old were you when you left the Soviet Union?
I was 4 and a half, and I got here when I was 5.
And when did you start playing violin?
5 and a half.
Okay, so
quick turnaround.
So once you got here, you began to follow in your mother's
yeah.
footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
All right, tell us. You moved to Massachusetts, and you're still there. In the Boston area, and you studied with Roman Totenberg at Boston University, and maybe just a few words about him as a teacher and as a musician.
I should mention before, I mean, I started studying with my mom, and then I studied with a really, really famous Russian teacher, Zenaida Gilels, and she's related to Emil Gilels, and I worked with her for about 3 years, then she passed away, but that was like the old school Russian school, you know, very, very strict and very, very technical. And then for on and off for about 8 years, I worked with Roman Totenberg. And he probably was one of the biggest influences in my career. I think he's like a musician obviously, you know, he passed away when he was 101. They just don't make them that way anymore. It's a completely different approach and school of playing and performance and, like, approach to phrasing and just, like, all about color, all about, like, really knowing what you're doing and really just an amazing man. Really just... I learned so much from him. He has a lot of recordings. I love listening to some of his recordings now, you know, now and then. It's just like the kind of playing that you simply won't hear anymore. It's very different. So he really made a major impact to my career.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're here to perform with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra, and you're playing it's a very famous work in the violin repertoire, but not as famous as some of the others, by Vinyavsky, a great 19th century virtuosic violinist / composer. Let's talk a little bit about the Vinyavsky concerto that you'll be performing.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. Vinyavsky's music, I've played his Polonaises, his Legenda. He's a really... I think very, very interesting that we mentioned Totenberg. I think it was Totenberg was also Polish, and they're coming from this like sort of line of playing that probably kind of evolved around the turn of the 20th century, I guess it would be. But it's a very like romantic, very passionate, but style of playing, but also one that's influenced by their culture, by this like sort of Polish culture. So Vinyavsky's music, I would say the first thing I think about, I think of like Polish dances, I think of Polish songs, I think of this just like Polish native whatever he's trying to evoke in his music. And then Vinyavsky was an amazing violinist, as you mentioned. He was a virtuoso violinist that toured across Europe, toured in Poland. And he wrote stuff that he could perform and show off, and you know, a lot of people did that. Viotti did that, Paganini did that, and Chport, you know, everybody did that in their
that
era. And Vinyavsky was doing the same thing, but I frankly think Vinyavsky's music is not just like a technical ride. You know, I think there's so much more. Interesting stuff to it. I think I also read that Vinyavsky actually wrote one or two operas. Definitely, if that's correct, I think that there's something... I think maybe he was trying to evoke the human voice. I mean, it's a very sort of melodic singing approach to things. And so that's kind of why I was kind of interested to see that. I don't remember where that... obviously, I don't think his operas are famous... that would make a lot of sense in my head for what he was trying to do with his music.
Yeah, it also a little bit associated with that era, late 19th century.
Yeah.
There was a lot of the bel canto style of singing was often put into the violin, particularly into violin music.
Yeah.
I think there was a relationship between the voice and the violin.
Yeah.
So is this a piece that you've played for a long time?
Well, I probably first learned it when I was 12 or 13. You know, this concerto is like one of the works that advanced young students will, their teacher will give it to them as like a challenge. And so I definitely remember learning it when I was about 13. And it's difficult. I mean, it provides all sorts of opportunities for you to develop and hone your technique as well as musicianship. But I haven't, I haven't performed it much since then. It's not really played that often. I am doing it in South Africa randomly next year, but that's just that happened after this. So, but I really, as for what I do on a daily basis, it's not a lot of Vinyavskis, Brahms and all the Russians and all the other stuff, but not really Vinyavski. So it's a nice change of pace to go out and play this with orchestra.
Yeah, it is. And it isn't heard that often, which is what I said at the beginning. And I'm curious because different musicians have different approaches in terms of maybe a soloist will pick a couple, two or three pieces or more that they're focusing on in a given season. And that's what their managers say, oh, this is what he or she is playing this year. And maybe it will be half a dozen, but it's oftentimes, you know, you see that the Joshua Bell is performing Bruch this year, and that's where he's playing everywhere he goes. That was a few years ago, but that's what he did. So did you decide that you wanted to be doing the Vinyavski, or did Lonnie Klein call and say, let's do something different? How does that unfold that you pick something, you know, that you study years and years ago and decide we're going to bring it on stage now?
That's a great question. I just get a note from my manager saying, do you want to do Vinyavski on this date in this place? And then it's up to me to say yes or no. But I would assume that Lonnie chose it for whatever reason. I had nothing to do with the selection of it. You know, that's a whole other conversation. But in terms of like, careers, and it's a little different making a career nowadays than it was 10 years ago. Then it might be 10 years from now. But, you know, you mean, at this point, I don't necessarily always have the luxury of putting my foot down and saying, I will only be doing these three concertos this year. It would be great, but it doesn't work that way. So, you know, it's a lot of right now is just hopscotching across different worlds, from Prokofiev to Brahms to Shostakovich to Bruch to Mendelssohn to, you know, Vinyavski to, I don't know what's coming, Glauzen, you know. So you're just really going through everything. And sometimes when I'm collaborating with an orchestra or a conductor early on, if we can get it early on, then I can be involved in that planning process. But in many situations, I don't have that much of a say right now.
I'm sure that's more the norm. That people don't.
I certainly wouldn't take, if there's something I don't like or will not play, I won't play it. Yeah. But, you know, Vinyavski is a great piece. I know it. I'll play it if the circumstances are correct.
So let's say you haven't played it for a while. You've pulled it out. Your manager wrote you, will you do Vinyavski? You say yes. And then you take it out of your music cabinet. Did you discover something new in it? Preparing it for this concert?
Absolutely. It's a completely different world. I mean, frankly, when I come back to pieces one year from the next, like, I approach it with a completely different perspective, musically, artistically, approach to sound, approach to everything. Doing something that was like 13, I mean, it was just like, it's almost a little bit like relearning the piece a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's a great thing. That's like a good thing about being a musician, is that you can always advance and like discover stuff. I mean, just doing some Bach the other day, and it's like it's right in front of me for 10 years of playing this one piece. This phrasing was right there, but I only figured it out like yesterday. You know, so it takes time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Always discovering new things.
Yeah.
The concerts are this weekend, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 3. My guest has been Yevgeny Kutik. He's the soloist with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. Lonnie Klein will be conducting and performing music of Beethoven, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and also the Vinyavski Violin Concerto that we were just discussing. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.